I think that I speak for my colleagues, whom you heard, some of you may know. You heard from earlier tonight, Rabbi Guzik and Rabbi Fruithandler, when I tell you that there are things that are wonderful about being a rabbi and things that are less wonderful. First of all, you have the ability, just by introducing yourself, to induce guilt. I knew this already when I was a kid, since my father was a rabbi in Philadelphia, and when I was a child, people would say to me, "What's your name, David? Won't be your rabbi. Won't be son. Yes. Oh, I used to keep kosher." Say, "Lady, I'm 6 years old. I don't care." But it is part and parcel of the job. And also, people have an unreasonable investment, or maybe a reasonable investment, in what you do, as many of you know. And I'm not going to belabor it tonight, although I'll talk about it at some other time. But I mean, when I spoke at the Democratic National Convention, half the congregation was furious at me. And then this morning I was on Fox News and the other half of the congregation was furious at me. And so were lots of people whom I'd never met, who just wrote me randomly out of nowhere saying, "You know, I'm furious at you." And other things less publishable from the pulpit. But the reason that that's all true has to do with the fact that there is some very powerful, ineradicable sense among most Jews of a tie, even if their Judaism consists of nothing other than feeling that tie. I remember after my father died, I told a story that he had once told me that moved me very much, but it occurred to me that it's not only a story about fathers and children. The story was about a father and a son who approach a rock. And the child says to his father, "Do you think I can move that rock?" And the father says, "If you use all your strength, you can move it." So the child pushes and pushes and pushes, doesn't budge an inch. He goes back to his father and he says, "You were wrong. I can't." And his father said, "No, I wasn't wrong. You didn't use all your strength. You didn't ask me to help you." But that idea is true of the Jewish community as well. You know, like every rabbi, I mean, those of you, some of you are members here, some of you are here just tonight. This is actually a normal functioning synagogue. We rabbis are here all the time. And people come often to talk to us about all sorts of difficulties that they have, and the reason that they do is in part the expectation that the Jewish community will help them. And there are, in fact, people in this congregation who have said to me, quite explicitly, if people come to you for help and they go through whatever process you go through and they need help, get in touch with me. Because there is that familial bond which is very powerful. It's why, by the way, we are not called the people of Abraham. Because Abraham was one guy. And one guy, even one guy married to one woman, that doesn't make a community. We're the children of Israel. Because it wasn't until you had a community that you had a community. It's why in that beautiful story that you heard Rabbi Guzik tell from Leonard Fine, why do you need 10 people for a minyan? Because according to the tradition, you need more images of God around you to feel the comfort that you should feel when you say the Kaddish. You shouldn't say it alone. And it also moves people to join you, and that sense of community is so powerful and so important, especially in a culture that places tremendous emphasis, sometimes rightly and beautifully, on the importance of the individual. We sometimes forget that we all need each other. That communities are what make it possible for us to survive. I remember I was in Israel when in the 80s, the Israelis first went to Ethiopia and brought over the first Ethiopian Jews. Operation Solomon, it was called. And they went into a civil war zone with, there's long, interesting stories about it. They went into a civil war zone, basically with attachés full of cash, to buy off the authorities so that they could bring the Jews to Israel. And I remember hearing a BBC reporter on the radio say, "Look, basically, I'm not a fan of Israel's. He said, but there is no other nation in the world that would fly halfway across the world, go into a civil war zone to rescue people who are black when they are white, who speak a language that they don't know, Amharic, because those people say, we are your sisters and brothers. That is the power of community. That's the sense of tying together disparate people because we're all part of the Jewish tradition. It is why, by the way, often people don't understand the difference between Judaism and other traditions in this way. Judaism is not a religion. A religion is a system of beliefs. But if tomorrow I got up here and said, you know what, all that stuff about God, I was wrong. Changed my mind. I'd still be Jewish. Because Jews are a religious family. And being a family, you're in. Yes, they drag you back in. That's right. And the only way in Jewish history to stop being Jewish was to choose another family. If you chose another religion, then effectively you were written out of the Jewish people. But just saying, you know what, I don't believe what you guys believe. We said, too bad. Come, join us for the minyan. That's the way it works. And it's why in the Soviet Union, when it existed, the Soviet government persecuted every religion. It persecuted Christians too, but there was only one religion that had a worldwide movement to free its compatriots, and that were Soviet Jews. Because there is this familial tie. And by the way, in the process of helping free Soviet Jews, we helped free the Soviet Union. It makes Judaism less transferable. It is harder to join a family than it is to change your belief. It's why if you speak to people who choose Judaism, the difficult part is getting yourself inside the family. It's not accepting the belief. It's feeling part of the faith. It takes time, though it happens. Just like when you marry. It can sometimes be hard, I know not for you, to join your in-laws. I've heard. I'm a rabbi. People come, they tell me stories. Nobody here. Other people. I heard a beautiful African proverb the other day that expresses it very well. It says, if you want to travel fast, travel alone. If you want to travel far, travel together. We've traveled very far. Thousands of years we've traveled, and we've been, as a Jewish people, everywhere. There is not a corner of the globe. You have to speak, in order to be a Jewish historian who really would know all the Jews, you'd have to speak every language. Because Jews have been creative in every language because they've lived everywhere. In fact, the rabbis say, we're all in a ship. That's the metaphor they use. And they say, when a Jew does something that hurts the world, themselves, the Jewish people, it's like somebody saying, oh, don't worry about it, I'm only making a hole in my side of the ship. Because we are all in it together. And that's why the late Shlomo Carlebach said, because of this strange deformity in Jewish consciousness, he said, you know, when someone comes up to me and tells me I'm a Protestant, I know they're a Protestant. When someone says I'm a Catholic, I know they're a Catholic. When someone says I'm a human being, I know they're a Jew. Because there is this desire to cast off the distinctiveness as though it's too parochial, too narrow. But that's what it means to be in community. It's like family. It's just the same. You know what Kathy Landsman's great line about holidays? It's Rosh Hashanah, so you may be experiencing this now. She said, holidays are a chance to renew your resentments afresh. You go home, you forgot how I'm so-and-so, but now you remember. But that's family. There was a beautiful documentary, I don't know if any of you ever saw it, Number Our Days by Barbara Meyerhoff, in which she went to Venice to an old age home. And there was this one woman who was very irascible. I think her name was Rose, and she fought with everyone. And finally, Meyerhoff, who was a social anthropologist, said, why do you fight with everyone? She said, fighting keeps us warm.
So it's true, being part of community is difficult. It is difficult. And it's true, by the way, in synagogues too. People always talk about the fact the synagogue is too political, which is another way of saying I didn't get what I wanted, right? The place is political when you don't win. When you win, it works well, actually. I feel that too. But that means that you actually have to deal with other people, with their desires, with their problems, with their wants, with their dreams. Remember, as I've told you before about Joseph, remember Joseph has these dreams about his brothers bowing down to him, and what happens to him? He gets thrown into a pit. Then he gets sold to Egypt, and he interprets the dream of the cup maker and of the baker, and then he eventually interprets the dreams of the Pharaoh, and he becomes the viceroy to Egypt. So how is it that dreams got him in so much trouble, and dreams also got him out of trouble? And the answer given by an English rabbi, a beautiful answer. He said, when Joseph listened only to his own dreams, he got in trouble. When he learned also to listen to the dreams of others, then he succeeded. That's what it means to be in community. We all have dreams. Nobody's individual dream is the only one that matters, because we also have a collective dream. You saw it tonight. If you got swept up in a moment of singing, all I can say is you need a community to do that. You need all the voices raised together. You need every letter in the Torah, because every letter represents a soul. We're part of a great and noble tradition. Nothing to be embarrassed about. Nothing to run away from. Granted, the Jewish community can be difficult. We like, sometimes, to make life more difficult for ourselves than it needs to be. But that's just part of being in it together. And we really should take a tremendous amount of pride for all our problems and all our difficulties and all our irascibility. And believe me, it's real. But remember what Disraeli said. Disraeli, who was nominally Jewish at best, the Prime Minister of England, when Daniel O'Connell criticized him in Parliament, he criticized his lineage, actually. Disraeli said to him, to the esteemed sir, when your ancestors were savages in some unknown island, mine were priests in the Temple of Solomon. We gave a lot to the world. We continue to give a lot to the world. And you should be a part of it. Hillel, 2,000 years ago, said, Al tifrosh min hatzibur. Don't separate yourself from the community. It's the easiest thing to do, because then you don't have to bear other people's burdens, or, in the vernacular, listen to their mishigas. But that's what it means to be part of a family. That's how we move through this world together and go far. I remember years ago when I was teaching in New York at Hunter College, I had a student come up to me, and I was teaching, this won't surprise you, some Jewish studies course. I was going to teach physics, but since I don't know anything about it, they put me in Jewish studies. So I was teaching a Jewish studies course, and some of the students were Jewish and some not, but one of the Jewish students came up to me and said, I have a question for you. Today there is an anti-apartheid rally and a Soviet Jewry rally. All my friends are going to the anti-apartheid rally. Why should I go to the Soviet Jewry rally? And I said, look, they're both important causes. I said, what I want to know is this. If you go to the anti-apartheid rally, who's going to go to the Soviet Jewry rally? Part of being a family means not that the family is the only thing that matters. It's not. We're not a narrow people or a parochial people. But you do have to take care of your family. You do have to care about them. You do have to feel part of them. You do have to bear their burdens, share their triumphs, and believe in their dreams. We have dreamed beautiful dreams throughout the history of thousands of years of our people when others often tried to crush and destroy that of which we dreamed, and many of our dreams became the dreams of humankind. The words of Isaiah are engraved over the portals of the United Nations to express the collective wish of the world. So this year, in addition to your individual, important, particular, singular dreams, dream some Jewish dreams. Feel part of our varied and wonderful community. Let's go far together. Shana Tovah.